Welcome to Science, Sound, and Spirituality with Master Teacher David Holtz. Join us weekly as we learn to dance with change and transformation. And also join us on the first and third Thursday of each month for a live program. Now, the following program has been pre-recorded in front of a live audience, so please forgive the occasional sound fluctuation. And now, here's David.
Hello, we want to welcome you today to the Science, Sound, and Spirituality broadcast from Charlotte, North Carolina. And we welcome all of you who are listening to us live and for you that are going to listen to us with a download at some. Today is going to be a very wonderful and urgent subject. I'm going to use that word urgent because we're in a time in the world in which the greatest thing that we need is peace. And we've got with us in the studio today a very special guest. I'm very honored to have Lawrence Tolliver with us. Lawrence Tolliver is the Vice President of the Peace Centers International. And we're going to be interviewing and talking to him and letting him tell us a little bit about his organization and his experience and how he's working with others to help to produce peace on the planet at this particular time. We want to hear from you. We'd like to know that you're out there. You can either call us by the number we just gave you, or you can contact us on our website at www.somaenergetics. That's SOMAENERGETICS.com. SOMAENERGETICS.com. And there you can find other information in which to find other phone numbers to contact us and also addresses. So, Mr. Tolliver, welcome to our broadcast today.
Thank you, Reverend David. I'm pleased to be here with you and always pleased to talk about this wonderful work I'm engaged in.
Well, it is a wonderful work, and I was just with you the other night and was so impressed and blessed at what you are doing right here in Charlotte. And I know that this is going on all over the world. You know, Margaret Mead said, the great anthropologist tells us that the world's going to be changed by just small groups of people that are meeting all over the world. And she says this is the way it's always happened, with just small groups of people. So your group is very important in playing out this wonderful thing of becoming donors of peace. I noticed that in your writing. Lawrence Tolliver also is the author of a book called Here's Peace. And Here's Peace is a vision and a global demonstration of peace with a short guide for creating peaceful communities. So everyone that is listening to us, if you're not a part of something, we want to really encourage you to begin to find out what you have in your area. And if you don't have something in your area, maybe you'd like to begin something in your area in the sense of how that we can help to bring peace to our planet. And we know, and we'll be talking about it as we go into the broadcast, but we know that the greatest way is through meditation. So I was reading your book, and I so enjoyed it. It's an easy read.
Thank you.
But it's good information. So anybody can read your book and understand what you're saying. And that isn't for all books. Sometimes a lot of people get a little beyond our understanding of what they're trying to say. But I thought you did a great job to write a book that I think is for everybody. I noticed that things begin to change with you in 2013. You really begin to have a specific relationship as to what you're doing here at Unity of Charlotte, here in Charlotte, North Carolina. And I was just reading in your book about how that you came to Unity and talked to our minister, our senior minister here, Nancy Innes, who must have been very impressed with you about whatever the conversation was, because she asked you to establish a peace assembly. That is powerful, a peace assembly right here at Unit of Charlotte. And you agreed to do it.
Yes, I.
Can you tell us about that a little bit?
I'd be happy to do so. When I visited with the congregation here, the very first Sunday of January 2013, I asked Reverend Ennis after the service if there were any peace ministries or peace activists in her congregation, and it just so happened one of them was walking right beside us out there in the corridor, and she made the introduction. I followed through with that individual, and I began to gather with a small group that Reverend Nancy had put together called Sacred Activists. And it was in the setting of a meeting with this Sacred Activists that she actually identified where her thinking and mine were in accord. And about 10 days after my first meeting with the Sacred Activists, she called me and said she had a great idea. And so off we went, and we started the Peace Assembly within months of that. I felt like it was meant to be, and I have stuck with it from that time on.
Well, that's wonderful. That's been over, 2 years now?
Yes, it has been almost 2.5 years now.
That's amazing. And you meet, once a week?
Yes, we do.
That's great. All right. I noticed, too, that you found your sort of form or way that you meditate through an introduction to something called Transcendental Meditation. I, too, was introduced to that in the early 90s. I was like everybody else ever since meditation sort of made a comeback from the 60s, about the time that Shirley MacLaine began to write her books and began to talk about meditation. I was flying every weekend at that time to a different city to speak, and I'd see one person reading that book. The next week, there'd be two people reading that book. And then on and on and on, and I realized that people were beginning to gravitate toward this idea of meditation and this sort of comeback of transcendental meditation, which has been around a long, long time, but has made a comeback. So I looked it up and took the classes, and it has served me well for over 25 years.
Outstanding.
I still use that method. So I noticed that this was something that sort of influenced you. And you want to tell us a little bit about how that happened and what's
going
for you?
Well, certainly. A friend of mine, Wendy Mills, who was also a religious science practitioner as I was back in 2012, she and I had some conversations about how to magnify peace. I told her I was very interested in finding ways to utilize my own focus on peace in a way that magnified it. And she told me that there was a book called Permanent Peace, which described the efforts of the Transcendental Meditation community to come together to actually amplify peace. That was the phrase they used. And I told her I was quite interested, and so she told me how to get the book, which I did. I immediately absorbed it. I just really loved everything about the book, particularly the section where they spelled out all of the evidence of their real-world experiments with the concept of amplifying peace. And, of course, you know, they amplified peace by engaging in collective meditation. I decided, well, I better learn something about this approach to meditation. And so, like you, I enrolled in an introductory class. And in December of 2012, I took my training right here in Charlotte. And I found, actually, Reverend David, that I gravitate between three or four different approaches to meditation, and TM is just one of them. In fact, one of the things I learned reading Permanent Peace by Robert Oates, what I learned was that the Maharishi is basically claiming that the TM approach is a more powerful approach than other approaches. And I, on the other hand, have opened up our peace assembly to meditators of all traditions.
Wonderful.
Yes. And I think that all of us end up with successful meditation practices going to the same place. And we experience that peace that is part of the consciousness of God consciousness. We're not experiencing really different things. We're going to the same place. And it seemed to me not to matter how you got there, as long as you got there. And I do want to comment on one other thing, and that is that peace is already here. Now, what I mean is that just as intelligence and beauty manifest, so peace manifests. And so we can point to the reality of beauty and intelligence. We can point to the reality of peace. If we step into a field of grass, we know there is life being produced in every blade of grass. Mm-hmm. We cannot hear a thing. There is no rumble. There is no sound. There is no disturbance of the atmosphere. Nothing negative going on. But we know life is being produced. The same thing is happening in you and me, Reverend David. We have these vital and essential processes going on in our bodies from the moment we are born until we leave here, nonstop. And they are not disturbing us at all, either through our nervous system, our ears, in any bodily function. All of it is happening in such a peaceful way, till I am certain that if we all came up with the ideal way for peace to manifest, we would come up with the one we are experiencing.
Absolutely. I love your term magnifying peace. And I was just thinking exactly what you just said, that before we can see peace manifested, we have to know that peace already is.
Yes.
And it already exists. And all we are facilitators.
Yes.
For that peace to manifest through. So let's talk about peace just a minute. There's those listening to us that really is wondering, well, what do you mean peace, and how do I know when I get peace, and what does it feel like to have peace? I was always just fascinated with a place in the Psalms in the Bible where it's written that David said, I meditate day and night.
Mm-hmm.
And that made me realize that meditation must be a state of being. It's not something we just always do, but it has to come from what we are.
Exactly.
So when we talk about spiritual things, we're talking about things that we are. We're talking about beingness. But that beingness always wants to become what it is.
Yes.
And there is where I think facilitators and those who have modalities and things that are there as healers, quote unquote, whatever that means, can mean many things. We are there to help it become what it is.
Yeah.
As you know, the world is in quite a turmoil at this time. It's a challenging time. And of course, people like yourself and we here at Unity of Charlotte, all of us are blessed to be taught to sometimes look past what appears to be and to look deeper into the heart of situations. And that is where peace lies. Is and I'm not talking about just the individual physical heart, but I'm talking about the heart of matter, the heart of the situation. And there is peace. And if we connect to that rather than what we see, or think we see with our five senses. Because if we keep trying to fix that, we're embracing it.
Exactly.
And the more we embrace something, the more we give our energy to it.
Exactly.
And that's why I think things accelerate and accelerate. You know, for so long it was an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth kind of thinking, which still is alive, unfortunately. In many Old Testament type of thinking and religions. But it escalates. I do this to you, you do that to me, and then I'm going to do it more to you, and you're going to do more to me. So somewhere it has to be almost interrupted with something.
Yes.
And I see that as the coming of peace.
Yes.
Now, I do not personally think that it's working in the sense of trying to work with it outside. In other words, if we look at it from a political point of view of sitting down at a table and trying to reason with people is a very challenging thing, because so many people are very much stuck into what they believe something is, whether it's their culture or their religion or whatever, and they're not going to be moved. In fact, they'd rather move you toward them.
Amen.
So there lies that dichotomy that we're in. So what I'm suggesting to you, that maybe the way that we could bring peace is to come through the back door of consciousness.
Exactly. Consciousness is the route. There's no question about it in my mind. We must do the things together that allow for the consciousness of peace to expand, regardless of what else is going on around us. All of us have the ability to discipline ourselves and train our minds to focus on that which we choose to experience and to magnify. And we all want to experience more peace of mind. And I think that the issue is this. I believe many people think that they must have X, Y, or Z in order to be at peace. So some people want to be free of physical pain, as in illnesses and injuries, in order to be at peace. Other people want to have prosperity, that is to say, money and diamonds and wealth and opulence, in order to be at peace. Still others have an interest in greater love in their lives and said, if I get the love of my life, I will be at peace. And it's very unfortunate that people don't really understand that the low-hanging fruit is peace. You don't need something else to get it.
Yes.
It's right there. Just open your mind to it, accept it into your life, and you don't need something else first.
Yes.
I think it would be wonderful if folks would value peace so much till they were able to hone in on what it feels like to them, their experience of it, because through life, even as children, there are times of peace that we experience and we treasure and we remember them. And I certainly remember growing up in the projects in a little town called Aliquippa, Pennsylvania, laying in my bed when my mother told me to go take a nap. Or she had enough of me, and she said, go upstairs. So I go up, I lay in the bed, and I'm at peace, 9, 10 years old, and laying there. And what I hear is an airplane at a distance, just droning. And when I begin to meditate to traditional Eastern musical sounds, that first note of the Om reminds me of that distant plane. I know I meditated as a 9-year-older, as a 10-year-older, and had no idea what I was doing, but I was experiencing peace right then.
That's beautiful. Okay, we're going to break for just a moment and hear a little bit about Soma Energetics. And if you don't want to miss the rest of the talk with our guest today, Lawrence Tolliver. So we'll be back with you in just a moment.
We'll return to today's edition of Science, Sound, and Spirituality with David Holtz after this word from our sponsor, Soma Energetics.
Soma Energetics is a series of sound therapy techniques developed by certified master sound therapy teacher David Hulse at the turn of the century, utilizing the power of the ancient frequencies via our custom-made solfeggio tuning forks. Soma Energetics offers training in live workshops or via DVD home study courses. Course materials include color solfeggio tuning forks in the form of energy tuners and body tuners, and they are available exclusively from Soma Energetics. At SomaEnergetics.com, you'll have the finest tools in energy healing and sound therapy at your fingertips. So take a moment to visit this very informative website and be sure and check out the combo packages for the best deals. If you have any questions, please give us a call at 980-949-8921. Remember, visit www.SomaEnergetics.com to experience the power of sound therapy.
And now we return to today's topic on science, sound, and spirituality. Here's Master Teacher David Hulse.
So we're talking about peace, and we've been hearing from Mr. Tolliver about his wonderful organizations and the work that he's doing on many levels. And I love the idea of inclusivism. You got my heart right there when you said that one method or way of meditating isn't the only way. I shy away a little bit when somebody says their way is the only way and everybody else is not. But I really believe in integrative spirituality.
Absolutely.
Even more than alternative. I think alternative doesn't always say, I know for what I teach with sound and vibration, that I tell people integrate it to everything else you know.
Outstanding.
Don't say, okay, this is the new thing now, I'll let everything else go.
Mm-hmm.
So I know you're coming from my heart, at least in that way, and I appreciate that so much. So we're just talking about peace, and what you were saying to me was almost what we have called, in the sense of talking about love, conditional love.
Mm-hmm.
So there's also conditional peace, peace based upon conditions.
Yes.
You know, anybody can feel peaceful for a while if a check comes up that you didn't expect or something wonderful happens, but it seems to fade away because it's just temporal.
Yes.
But I think what we're talking about is something that is always there. It is something that exists within the fabric and the nature of our being.
Yes.
As the Creator has given us that part of itself, which is peace. Wonderful scripture says, peace passeth understanding.
Yes, it does.
I really like that sometimes because people who want to sit down and analyze everything sometimes can talk themselves right out of peace.
Correct.
By finding every reason why they shouldn't have peace.
Yes.
So peace is a thing of faith. It is a thing, and I'm not using faith in the sense of a blind belief. I'm talking about an inherent ability within consciousness to bring us to a place in which we are in a state of peace.
Exactly.
And then when that is what we have, is what we are.
Exactly.
Then that is extended into every magnetic field around this planet, into every ley line in this planet, and into every heart that's out there saying at any level, even unconsciously, there's got to be a better way.
There is. There is a better way. I think you have said it so nicely, and I just want to commend you on the great work of spiritual education that you are doing in Charlotte, because it resonates with me that those of us that are engaged and enmeshed in New Thought, that we ought to be about demonstrating the value of our beliefs and our understanding and of our faith. And we know that it is done unto us as we believe. We know it has been this way forever. And one of the things that the Master Jesus always said to those he healed and lifted, he said, it is done unto you as you believe. Go your way. and you know, so he was always encouraging people to select the beliefs that are beneficial not only to them, but to those around them. And so I look at where we are in this world today, and I believe that New Thought people should be demonstrating something about our beliefs. Peace is the low-hanging fruit, as far as I'm concerned.
I like that.
And we ought to be demonstrating peace. And we ought to agree that that is the major demonstration of our lives. And if we could just do this one thing, then the world would have the ability to address the other issues, such as poverty and inequality that exist. But we can bring greater peace if we would just focus together in collective meditation. And I believe we have discovered a way in which to do that by simply accepting some of the traditional, customary ways in which things are done. So every Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, people gather under different umbrellas of faith to worship. And in every week, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, there is a concentration of people of various faiths coming together, and it's around the clock. It is 24 hours a day, three straight days of people getting on their knees, gathering together, and magnifying their consciousness. I just want the subject to be peace.
Amen.
I want the time spent together to be a demonstration of our love for peace. And the more we love it, the more of it shows up.
What a great challenge that would be to put out there, isn't it?
Yes.
To ask for 3 days that every religious group on the planet, no matter when they're meeting, and you're right, somebody is always meeting within that 3-day period, that everyone that one 3-day, if that 3-day period, put their emphasis on peace.
Yes.
No matter what their doctrine or their disagreements of beliefs are, set it aside.
Yes.
For 3 days.
No arguments, nothing. Just embrace
peace.
Peace. Just embody peace for those 3 days. And as the earth turns, every hour another worship service is starting somewhere. Every hour, actually, hundreds of worship services are starting somewhere. And if we could just agree just to try peace, you know, I think that's the demonstration that we have the capacity as human beings to actually embrace and produce.
Well, let's talk about that a little bit. As you know, I love to study a little bit about quantum physics. That's been a saver for me back in the late 80s when I had come to the end of my childhood belief system and religion as I had learned it. I came to a place in myself in which I wasn't sure I believed anything. And, of course, I interpreted that as nothing, you know. But I found out that nothing was just a still point. You know, that place, be still and know.
Yes.
Sometimes you just have to come to the end for something to begin. So, but between there sometimes there is that stillness.
Yes.
We call it a still point.
Yes.
And I was in that still point, and it's a frightening thing to that part of me that is my ego system.
Yes.
The ego fears that. It fears the shutdown of a belief system because the inherent Christ consciousness can emerge into that void and fill it. Let there be light came out of the void.
Yes.
So I encourage those listening to us who are listening to us because they're searching, because they've come to the end of maybe some of their religious thinking that they've been taught the first part of their life, and they are discouraged or like, you know, is it over for me? I want to encourage them that this could be the beginning of the greatest thing that ever happened. I was telling you before the broadcast today that my first time to speak in a New Thought church was in Science of Mind in Denver, Colorado. And how I found that church is I was going there every month from Indianapolis, and I was speaking to a group of people that were not necessarily New Thought, but we rented that church.
Oh, my.
Every Saturday. And I just remember I was just fascinated with the feeling in that church.
Okay.
Because they were meditating in there. And I didn't know about that, but it just felt good. I just wanted to get there early so I could just sit because I felt peace.
Absolutely.
But and I was kind of coming to the end of my thinking, you know, it was frightening to my ego part.
Yeah.
Like, is it over? You know, is my ministry over?
Yeah.
And on the wall was a little excerpt of a poem that's a famous French 15th century poem. And just kind of ad-libbing a little bit and just saying, it basically said, come to the cliff. But nobody came. Come to the cliff, the voice said a little more intensely. But nobody came. And the voice with all it had said, come to the cliff. And someone said, but we are afraid. And the voice with all it said, come to the cliff. Because I felt I was standing on the cliff.
Right.
Looking over into the nothing.
Right.
And then it said, we went, and he did push us, and we did fly. That spoke to me that I was not going to fall off this cliff of my limited belief system to my utter ruin, but I was getting ready to soar, and that's exactly what happened to me because I found a book by Deepak Chopra called Quantum Healing.
Isn't that wonderful?
And that book was at a level I began to understand that we can really go into the more refined, smaller aspects of what makes life what it is. Mm-hmm. And as I did that, I finally found out about something called the unified field.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And all that really means to me, in my simple definition, is it means that if you broke everything down to the smallest, from a cell to an atom, from an atom to electrons and protons to neutrons to quarks to whatever smallest it gets, it runs out of things and just becomes this field of pulsing possibilities.
Yes.
Pulsing possibilities. And if we can get there through meditation and all join together, no matter where we are or what method we've used to get there, the main thing is get there.
Yes.
And if we get there, we are joined in the field of all
possibilities. Exactly.
Now, that's where something comes in I want us to talk about. I want to hear from you. And that is what drives all of this is intention.
Intention, exactly. Human intention is what has gotten us to the level of development, both personally and communal-wide. We have gotten where we are because of our intentions to experience something better. We always want more of those things that enhance us, that provide for abundant living. And so I'm in full agreement with you, and I will say this, the plants in the field know our intentions. They experience our intentions as human beings, and that has been documented. Yes. So this center that we all occupy is a live consciousness that is unbounded. So our thoughts are able to travel and to connect with each other and with other beings and other life. And it's just a wonderful thing that nature, a God, is this way.
Yes. So intention drives thought.
Mm-hmm.
If I have a thought without an intention, the thought is sort of incoherent. It can go anywhere. It doesn't know where to go. If I give it an intent, which is like releasing energy.
It is.
Intent is energy, which spirit moves into and finds a way to get to where you want it to go.
Exactly, because it's intelligent. And that is something sometimes people overlook. This is an intelligent universe. It has many characteristics, such as the peace that has been the subject of much of our conversation. But it really, there is so much power available to us because we hone our intentions, clear our thinking, and approach things with a clear consciousness. And once there is clarity, great power leaps forward.
Yes. There's something that is called creating a neuronal field, which is what a group can do.
Mm-hmm.
When a group comes together, each individual donating, there's your donors, who donate to the group, create something larger than the sum
exactly.
of its parts. We call that synergy.
Exactly.
But it also is called a neuronal field or hyperspace.
Mm-hmm.
And that is exciting to me to think that actually we look at ourselves and we feel small and insignificant as just a body.
Mm-hmm.
But we're so much more
so
than
much
that.
More.
We're so much more than what our eyes see and our ears
mm-hmm.
hear and
mm-hmm.
what we take. All the five senses were so much more.
Mm-hmm.
And it's in there that lies the answer for transformation and for change.
Exactly.
But you know, I'd in studying quantum physics, I was studying one time about how that atoms change
mm-hmm.
and how that they can't change, say, a hydrogen to a lithium atom until there's a breakdown of the first pattern,
mm-hmm.
and it has to go into chaos or
mm-hmm.
crises.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, chaos has become such a subject in quantum thinking that there is a complete school of
mm-hmm.
thought called the theory of chaos.
Exactly.
And people have to understand that if their life sometimes is in a chaotic state, that this could be maybe one of the most spiritual things that's ever happened.
Right.
Now,
right.
I'm not saying always, but those who are really following a spiritual path
yeah.
toward any degree of enlightenment have to realize there's times that old patterns of old belief systems
yeah.
begin to go into chaos. It's kind of like the metamorphosis idea, isn't it?
It is exactly
that,
like that.
That caterpillar
idea.
Just has to go into what they call goo.
Exactly like
yeah.
that.
Yeah, and there would be somebody listening
Perfect.
To us who feels just like my life is goo, but somewhere out of that goo, and this is the coolest thing that I ever heard, but science says that out of that state of chaos of the caterpillar, this almost new molecule shows up, and guess what they named it? The imaginary molecule. The imaginary molecule. So at that point, it imagines itself as a whole different species,
yes.
and the DNA begins to form for the butterfly.
Yes.
I love that. And if that can happen in nature,
yes.
it is also in every one of us that
Amen.
We can transform
exactly.
a world that is built upon greed and fear
right.
and division
right.
and divide and conquer
yes.
to a time of uniting and healing and bringing us together.
You have just put out a wonderful vision. You have educated a whole lot of people to understand how it is we get from one state of being to the next. There is a vision. There is an organizing principle, and that organizing principle is captured in that vision. And I just know that you just blessed a lot of people just describing for them how our transformation is a metamorphosis. And the universe, which is intelligent, has the answers. We don't, as individuals, have to have the answers. We just have to believe that more is possible and it is actually taking place. So I'm claiming peace because that's the only way I know how to demonstrate.
Yes.
I can't demonstrate by saying that peace doesn't exist. I have to know that it exists. The new butterfly, that consciousness has to be undaunted. It has to know for a certainty that I'm becoming a butterfly.
Yes. Love it. Beautifully said.
We'll be back with more of today's program on science, sound, and spirituality after this word from Soma Energetics.
Soma Energetics is a series of sound therapy techniques developed by certified master sound therapy teacher David Hulse at the turn of the century. Utilizing the power of the ancient frequencies via our custom-made solfeggio tuning forks. Soma Energetics offers training in live workshops or via DVD home study courses. Course materials include color solfeggio tuning forks in the form of energy tuners and body tuners, and they are available exclusively from Soma Energetics. At SomaEnergetics.com, you'll have the finest tools in energy healing and sound therapy at your fingertips. So take a moment to visit this very informative website and be sure and check out the combo packages for the best deals. If you have any questions, please give us a call at 980-949-8921. Remember, visit www.SomaEnergetics.com to experience the power of sound therapy.
Now back to today's program on Science, Sound, and Spirituality with David Holtz.
Welcome back. We're glad to have you back with us again. And we're talking about one of the most important things that we would like to, I'm sure, all see, and that is the manifestation of peace on a global level. I had said earlier to our guest today that I'm not sure it can be done by just sitting down at a table and reasoning together. I think if that could have been done, it'd probably be a lot further along than it is. But I think there is a better way, and that way is to come through consciousness itself. It's kind of like coming through the back door with people. You know, if you come through the front door, you've got to get through people's resistance, because everybody has a belief, and they resist what is a belief that is different than their belief, and you can't sometimes get through. So a way to come is like through the back. And I love this idea, you know, coming from a kind of a Bible teaching background, that it said that Christ's coming would be like a thief in the night. For if the man in the house would have known, he'd be ready for it. And I really see how that the ego is kind of ready for you,
yeah,
if you're going to come and try to challenge my belief system.
Right.
But if this comes through the back door, so to speak, of consciousness, and then appears, appears within the minds of people as a thought, a feeling in the heart, then who says they can't just at that moment lay their weapons down and learn war
right.
No more?
Amen.
And
amen.
That's my vision, is to see an inner transformation happen in spite of people.
Amen.
But, you know, to do that, it doesn't take everybody to decide that. It just takes enough, doesn't it?
It just takes enough. And both you and I, being familiar with transcendental meditation, we know that the Maharishi has defined something he called the Maharishi effect.
Yes.
And it's an exponential effect. And for example, it goes like this, Reverend David. You and I agreeing on a state of consciousness can affect 400 other people.
Wow.
And if there were 9 of us in agreement, we could affect 8,100 other people.
Whoa.
So the Maharishi discovered through actual hands-on work in the field with almost 50 different experiments beginning in the 70s through the 90s, they discovered and were able to document scientifically that this Maharishi exponential effect was operating whenever they put together groups of meditators and had them to intentionally meditate on peace. And they would affect the consciousness of the populations they were directing their attention to, whether it was in a field of war or whether it was in a field in Iowa. It didn't matter. They were able to document decreases in crime, decreases in illness, decreases in absences from work, decreases in accidents. They could document so much till it was provable that these were not by coincidence.
That is so powerful. I remember back in the 80s, and I didn't even know about these things, but I remember being in a church in West Palm Beach, and they all decided, because of the crime situation around their church, which people were dropping off, they was afraid to come to the building, to do a vigil, to a prayer vigil. I don't know if they called it meditation, but, you know, prayer is a form of meditation, too. And so I joined with that, and it was amazing. And when I got back, somebody called me or wrote me a letter, whatever we did in the 80s. I don't know if I got an email yet. But told me that they had checked before and after, uh-huh. and that crime had gone down. Now, I heard that happened right here.
It certainly did.
At Unity of Charlotte. In this area. Can you tell us about that?
Well, we worked very closely with the local police department, which has been publishing its crime data by a statistical area. They have identified geographic areas within the Charlotte Metro, and they will report publicly through the internet various types of crime and their occurrence in each one of these geographic areas. And we were monitoring what was happening in the area surrounding this church congregation here on Arrowwood Road. And we were able to see the impact through lowered accidents, lowered criminal activity, right there as a consequence of us working together in small groups. Yeah. And so we knew that we were making a difference from the very beginning. Mm-hmm. And this was necessary for some people, Reverend David. For me, I wasn't out to prove anything. I was out to experience greater peace. It was not necessary in my mind, for us to reprove what was mm-hmm. proven through 50 scientifically documented studies. That's enough studying, as far as I'm concerned.
I think so.
I don't have to reprove it. Mm-hmm. I just need to implement the methodology that brought it about.
That is fantastic. Well, just imagine those that might be listening to us, if they could get that same idea group in their city, in their mm-hmm. area, and it would just spread and spread and spread until actually we accomplish this vision that both of us hold and are talking about today, and that is peace. There is, and we want to emphasize, the power of group meditation.
Yes.
You know, one of the greatest things is just the idea of where two or three are gathered.
Yes.
I am in the midst, and that I is the greater of the sum of the parts.
Exactly.
The I is the presence that the two or three can make that they could not make alone.
Alone.
So do remember quality over quantity.
Absolutely.
It's not how many, it's the depth.
Exactly.
It's the height and the depth that we're looking for. It's not more, 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 more. That's
exactly.
not necessary.
Yeah. It is not the numbers that we need to concern ourselves. We do want to concern ourselves with our training.
Mm-hmm.
We do want people who have disciplined themselves sufficiently to actually reach that state of peace that is available mm-hmm. to everyone. And those trained meditators, those trained minds are what makes the difference. Unfortunately, humanity is cowering before violent individuals who, for some reason or another, are able to lead large numbers of folks to violent activity, whether it's in Nigeria or in Iraq or, you know, in America or in France or wherever the violence takes place. We are acting as though these immature individuals are stronger than we are. That's got to stop.
Good point. Good point.
They are no more trained with their minds than you and I are. We probably have more training than two. We probably have a good reason to call them immature and underdeveloped.
Good point.
And untrained.
Mm-hmm.
We probably have good reasons for thinking of them as immature. But we are not acting as though our training provides us with the power to prevail.
Well, now that is just brought me to a passionate thought that I have that I think we need to look at, and that is that for whatever reason, we, especially in this culture and this country, have been, it would appear, almost dumbed down. I hate to use that word, but we are a more apathetic people who have found that somebody will do it for me.
Mm-hmm.
The right person in office will do it for me. The right policy.
Somebody out there
pushed the monitor, push the button.
Oh, that's another
battery.
Filling the
ethers
up. My words should not return void.
Yeah, amen.
Yep. Oh, we're back
on a little bit technical.
I think we got kind of excited here,
talking about how we are in a new state of our evolution, growing up.
Become co-creative adults. All these years trying to find out who we are, trying to find our identity, and most of us have found it from outside of ourselves, our culture, our society, our religions. Everybody thinks they're a Republican, a Democrat, a Libertarian. Everybody thinks they're Catholic or Protestant. Everybody thinks they are this, that, and another. Those are just labels that have been pinned upon us. But underneath all of that lies the real, authentic self. And that is the self that can be accessed to absolutely arise and to have the great wisdom and the demonstration that can bring this great transformation that is coming. Now, I know there's people that think a lot of this is just New Age voodoo stuff. And we have tried to give science and proof that what we're talking about happens. I just wanted to real quickly, I just read a little story about, you know, how people go to a football game or something and do the wave.
Yes.
And there's a young lady there that was sitting over in the bleacher, and they started the wave over there. She said, I am not getting up this wave. I don't believe in this wave whatsoever. And the wave was going on, and when it got to her, she just jumped up because energy had been so created.
Swept her up.
And that's what we're going to do. Enough of us are going to start the wave of peace until it has gained such momentum and excelled itself that even those who say we don't want peace will learn peace and not war anymore.
I love it. That's beautiful. I like to think of it as a weather front. Who among us can stop a weather front? None of us can. It's just going to blow right on through.
The storm of peace.
So there's this consciousness that is just going to sweep right over the landscape. What can you do to stop this front?
That's
nothing.
Right.
Nothing.
Well, I really appreciate you saying that we've become, it seems by the media, the more silent. It is those who are acting out, you know, more the other side of things as far as war and all the crazy things that are going on. That's mostly what we see, 24/7.
Yes.
And so that is not the majority, I do not believe.
But oh, it's not the majority. It's just that we have
the loudest.
We have deferred to their noise, their clamor, and their violence, and they're wreaking havoc everywhere, and we are cowering as though we don't have trained minds.
You got it.
But we do.
And that's been my passion here at Unity, is to bring in a spiritual educational school. Because I don't think we just by itself need little flowery sermons about how great it all is. I think we need to learn what we can do and how we can be a part of the process of co-creating a new earth.
I like the way you are indeed raising the consciousness of many people here in Charlotte, Reverend David. And I certainly invite anyone who is traveling, who happens to be in Charlotte on a Sunday, please come by Unity of Charlotte. Reverend David is doing a great work with his approach to education. It is certainly raising the consciousness and mobilizing the kind of activism that we all need.
Well, thank you so much.
This has been a presentation of Science, Sound, and Spirituality with Master Teacher David Holtz. For more information, visit us at www.lightwithin.com. We invite you to join us every week here on BBS Radio for this insightful program and the first and third Thursday of each month for a live program. Until then, this is your announcer, Deborah Fitch, reminding you that your life is a gift. but your journey is a choice. Thank you for choosing to spend a part of your journey with us.